One sat alone beside the highway, begging. His eyes were blind, the light he could not see. He clutched his old rags and shivered in the shadows. Then Jesus came and bade his darkness flee. When Jesus comes...
It's time again for the Family Altar program with Evangelist Lester Roloff.
When Jesus comes, all the tears are dried away.
And here now is Brother Roloff.
And fills the life with glory. For all is changed when Jesus comes to stay.
The judge said, do you want to go back home? And said, no, sir, I don't want to go back home. So she's off in a foster home, and a godly daddy called me. Said, Brother Roloff, what shall I do? I said, file on him for kidnapping. Amen. File on him, try to get him in the penitentiary as quick as you can, or sent back. Yeah. I'm sick and tired of that bunch of reprobates stealing our children. They don't care one lick. I'll guarantee you when their 5 o'clock time comes, the whole world can go for it, because they go into the beer joint or somewhere else. Now, if that wasn't so, I wouldn't say it, but I know it is. And they're trying to champion the cause and trying to tell Christians and Christian parents. And one was a preacher and his wife. And they said, our little child is gone. And they threatened to get the rest of them. I tell you, that's got to stop. Amen. I mean, it's got to stop. I mean, they have proved themselves completely inefficient. The state makes a mighty bad parent. And that's the truth. You know why? Because they don't have the love, and they can't exercise discipline, and they can't even use the Bible, can't mention the name of Jesus. Then what on earth can they do? Nothing. They're representatives and emissaries and missionaries of the devil. And you can just put that in the paper and say what you want to say about it, but I'm just simply saying their record stinks to him. You ask boys and girls that have been through foster homes, and they'll tell you that they didn't meet Jesus in there. Let me tell you something. If a foster home was what it ought to be, they wouldn't need but one foster home. Why do they have to go in 13 of them? Why do they have to go in 10 or 15 of them? If they had one, and I tell you, it broke my heart when I read, when they said, we don't want the foster parents to love them. And if you get to loving them, we're going to move them. We don't want that kind of attachment. We don't want them to get to loving you. You know why? Because they don't have the love of God themselves. What can a little child do without love? Listen. You won't ever be loved until you get around Christians. Bible said, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And so, let me answer the question. Don't you think maybe we just need to make up our minds? You know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of making up the bed. You go in and you see a bunch of old stinking dirty sheets and roaches running all over the bed and a couple of dozen rats in there playing around on top of the bed, and said all you got to do is just make up the bed. Just spread the cover. Cover them up. Don't get to where you can see them. Just let them hibernate in there and get back in there with them tonight. Huh? That's exactly what you said. All you got to do is just make up your mind. Make up your mind. It's all in your mind. I tell you what you got to do. You ain't got no mind until you get Jesus' mind. Amen. I tell you, did you know that you're born insane? Oh, wait a minute, Brother Olaf. You mean my little baby's insane? Mm-hmm. Did you know that little baby is born all out of shape? You say, I don't know why you say that. You know why you're raising the question? You're so dumb spiritually. Right. Actually, you don't know what to believe. The Bible said, behold, I was shapen in iniquity. That's out of shape, isn't it?
That's right.
And in sin did my mother conceive me. The baby didn't become a sinner 6 years after his born. It began a sinner the day it was conceived and started out.
Right.
Now you see, that's the total depravity that the Bible teaches that the psychiatrist has never heard about. That's the reason the psychiatrists are going to each other. That's the reason the psychiatrists lead the world in suicides. You know why? They take on so many problems, they say, it's killing me. You know, they haven't got any troubleshooter. It drives them crazy. You know, I kind of resent this business of people saying, man, he's going bananas. Now, bananas are too good to talk like that. I mean, when I was a little boy, I tell you, we just didn't have enough bananas. Boy, if my daddy brought home a sack of bananas, I want you to know I could eat the peeling. Oh, and that banana pudding, you've never... And with all that meringue on top of it? I didn't have any pudding until I went off to college. But I had a heap of pudding. And really, I'm just telling you the truth, and I know you think I'm a little corny, but the pudding was better than the pudding.
That's right.
I bet you smart alecks, and y'all didn't know what I'm talking about, but I'll guarantee you, boy, you walk in and find that pudding, I mean that banana pudding, and it wasn't this stuff you squirt out of a can.
No.
Huh? No, man, it's something better than that. But now then people are talking about a good sanctified banana. Said he's going banana. That means he's going crazy. Well, bananas never drove anybody crazy. I heard about an old country boy, and I'll just tell it since I thought about it. He got on one of those Subway deals, you know. And he got him what he called a bag of bananas. And he reached in there, and he'd never eaten a banana, but they smelled good. And so he took a big bite of that banana, and just as he did, it went into the dark. I mean, right down underground, no lights. And when he came out a little later in the light, the bag of bananas was way up at the front. He'd tossed them as far as he could toss them. And somebody picked him up and said, man, I got some bananas. This old country boy came up and said, buddy, you better take my advice and not eat them. I took one bite, went blind as a bat. Now, well, if you go in bananas, brother, it wasn't bananas that did it. It was something you heard and was taught, and the strain, the worry, and the lack of faith in the Lord. Well, change your mind. Don't change the mind you got. Get you a new mind. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. He ought to have a new mind. He ought to have a brand new mind. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. Now, you're born with a single mind, and it's a bad mind. It's a carnal mind, and the carnal mind is enmity against God. That's the reason man hates God. He's born hating God. You never hear of a little baby being born loves God. Doesn't even love his parents. Couldn't, doesn't have any love to love them with. And the Bible said in the closing days, and we're there right now, they'll be without natural affection. That's the reason this couple the other day I told you about, they swapped their little child, about 14 months old, for a car. Signed the papers and started walking out and never did. The little child was playing on the floor of the showroom. And the man who operates the place said, this couple, its own mother and dad, walked out and never waved goodbye, kissed it, or anything. Said, it's all yours. You know what that said to me? Jesus is coming soon.
Amen.
Without natural affection. You've never known of a dog that would do a puppy like that. Never. Oh, I tell you, we don't need to change our mind. We need to get a new mind. Amen. We need to get the mind of Christ. And it's a gift. And he'll give us his mind. And he'll give his wisdom to go with it. You say, Brother Wolof, what is the mind of Christ? Well, I'll just make it as plain as I can. The King James Version. I know of nothing that is the mind of Christ like this book right here. I know of no mind that's ever done so much for the minds of men as the mind of Christ right here in this book. You know what changes people? It's the Word of God. This wonderful, transforming Word of God. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. And so, as I bring this message to a close, what kind of a mind? Do you have a carnal mind? Do you have the same old mind you was born with? You know why people hate their parents? They got a carnal mind. They hate God. They hate their mother and daddy. Have you ever noticed every time a girl falls in love with Jesus, they fall in love with their parents? Every time. I mean, they just say, well, you know, I didn't know I did love my mother. Well, you didn't love her until you got right with the Lord. I grieved my mother. I really did. I grieved my mother more than the other two boys, I guess, put together because of my stubbornness. Now, I didn't have freedom to do what I wanted to do. My daddy had curb bits on me. He had a leash. He kept me on his clothesline. I could only go so far. And fact is, it was hardly beyond his vision. He just saw me. They knew where I was all the time. My daddy never did come in at night and said, Sadie or Sally, where's Lester? Where's he going tonight? You know what she'd say? He's back there in the bed. Or he's in the heater room. Or he's going after some cubs or kindling to start a fire. He's around here. Now, that wasn't because I was such a sweet boy. That wasn't because I was so angelic. My daddy was just so strict till he wanted to know where Lester was. Brother, I thought I'd never get big enough or old enough to even wear long breeches. I thought I'd never get old enough to go spend the night away from home. I wasn't all that bad, but they said, no, you come on home with us where you belong. And that's where I went. Mothers and dads, you have every right to know where your children are. I mean, you just do. And young people, don't you wish that you'd have stayed where mother and daddy wanted you to stay? Instead of the old sorrows and heartaches and the old dirt and filth that came along and hurt you and disturbed you and the old dope and the cigarettes and the liquor and all the rest of it. But we're not looking back. We're just thankful that the Lord found us, got us to, and mother and dad had enough sense and the preacher and somebody else to get you to the home. And I'm grateful to the Lord that you're here today. Now then, it's more than making up your mind. You're going to have to come and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and get under conviction and then let Jesus come in. You know, an old song came to me, and I'm going to sing a little stanza of it. It's an old, old, old song. Many, many years ago, these words I've never forgotten. Young people, you'll hear me. If you'll memorize while you're young, you'll have it when you're old. Train up a child the way he should go when he's old, he'll not depart from it. You know what I remember the best? It's what I really memorized even in the beginning days of my ministry. I can quote you poem after poem. I can sing song after song that I learned in the beginning days at my Baylor University ministry. I can. Think on thy way, O thou storm-driven child, out on the ocean so dark and so wild, far from thy God, you are drifting today. Think on thy way. Think on thy way. Think on thy way. Without pilot our guide. Far from the shore, with no friend by your side, thoughtless of him who would fain be your stay. You better think on thy way. Think on thy way. Think on thy way. God will not let you go. His mighty arm can destroy every foe. Trust him today. All his commandments obey. Think on thy way. Think on thy way. Think on thy way. Think on thy way. Is it leading you to God and home? Think on thy way. I thought on my way and turned my feet to the testimony of the Lord. You know where you got saved? Somebody made you think. Here's the way you ought to think. Where am I going to spend eternity? Where am I going from here? What if I died right now? What if my... And that's all of it. Mothers and dads, you better think on your way. You better think on your way and turn your feet to the testimonies. You know what the testimonies of the Lord? That's Jesus. I thought on my way and I turned to Jesus. Oh, I know. I'll let you raise a question. I'll answer it for you. Brother Olaf, did it ever dawn on you that you could be wrong? Not much. Really. I mean, I just couldn't be in doubt about what I'm doing and go ahead and do it. I just believe the Lord's made it so sure I don't have to live in doubt. Amen. And so it'd be pretty hard. But I tell you what I'll do. I'll play like for a minute. Suppose I am wrong. There's no heaven. There's no hell. The Bible's not so. What have I lost? Seem like I've helped a lot of people by the grace of God. That's not so, you say. We've seen a lot of prostitutes purified, alcoholics sobered, dope heads delivered, homes put back together, little children made happy. We've seen a many a smile crawl across the face of an unhappy child. We've seen a many old drunkard straighten up and walk straight, get a good job and buy him a car, get him a wife and live right. I said, wait a minute here. What have I lost? Suppose I am wrong. Suppose I'm not going to go to heaven. Of course I am. But I mean, just suppose I'm not. And just suppose it's not in hell. And suppose the Bible, I'm going to ask you a question. What on earth do you think I've lost anyhow? Think that over for a minute. I got better clothes than I had. And they're all given to me. And I've had good food to eat. And I've had the best people on earth to live around. Man, I've enjoyed myself. Have you ever heard that? Old farmers used to say, man, I enjoyed myself. Well, I've enjoyed being around God's people. You talk about living it up. We live it up around here. Amen. It's the happiest place I've ever been in my life. More love. And so what have I lost? Just what have I lost? But now, wait a minute. Let's turn that old horse around. Suppose I am right and you're wrong. What have you lost? You've lost it all. You've lost the joy of living. And you've lost your prospects for heaven. And you're going straight to hell and you'll be there soon. And when you get there, you're going to stay the rest of the eternity. What have you lost? You lost it all. You've just lost it all. Would you let me tell again about the old man up yonder? I landed at the airport of one of the richest men. I went up and built him a great big fine brick home and a runway. And had one of these radios call up his pilot and said, bring me a loaf of bread. And laughed. He'd take silver dollars, I mean silver dollars by the handful, and throw them in the slush and the mush and the oil around the old oil wells that he had. And he'd throw them all out in the slush and said to the people working for him, dive in and get them. And they'd come out black oil and picking up dollar silver. And the old rich codger'd stand there and say, ha, 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 ha. He had him a big time, see. Instead of just giving them silver dollars, he'd throw them in there and enjoy watching them get in the filth, you see. And one day, oh, are you listening? One day, they put it in the paper. Old man W is dead. He's dead. Boy, it was the talk of the little town. Oh, they said he's dead. That old man, that rich old man is dead. He's dead. And they got to talking, and there was a man under a car there, greasing it, and had his old cap on, and he was busy. And somebody said, I wonder what he left. Oh, nobody knows what he left. I wonder what he left. The old man walked out from under the car and said, I tell you what he left. He left it all. Yep. He left it all. Yeah. Oh, yeah, boys, you're going to leave it all, brother. You're not going to take it with you when you go. Rich people, Mr. Hughes, none of the rest of them. You're not going to take in the rich man that died and went to hell. He didn't have any of it when he got there. Didn't even have a drop of water. Think on thy way. Jesus is standing at your heart's door, standing and knocking, but he's knocked before. This is the question you're going to have to face once more. What will you do with Jesus? At your sad heart he is knocking still, longing to enter your soul to thrill. You must accept or reject his will. What you gonna do with Jesus? Oh, will you leave him alone outside? Or will you choose him? Whatever betide, this is the question you're going to have to decide. What am I going to do with Jesus? Will you now answer his tender call? Will you obey him whatever befall? Follow him daily as Lord of all. What will you do with Jesus? What will you do with Jesus? Neutral you cannot be. Someday your heart will be asking, what are you gonna do with me? Let's think on thy way. I thought on my ways and turned my feet to the testimony of the Lord.
We are delighted that you joined us today for the Family Altar program with Evangelist Lester Roloff and the message, The Forgotten Art. Now, if you'd like to receive the message on a CD, simply ask for offer number RO2880, and include $10, and we'd like to have today's date and the call letters to this radio station. If you'd like to use your credit card, dial toll-free at 1-800-772-7507. The address is the Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, Post Office Box 1177, Corpus Christi, Texas, 78403. The July offer for the month is a music CD called A Message in Song. The uniqueness of this CD is it's all songs that were recorded at a revival Brother Roloff was holding. The Family Altar Quartet was also singing some of the songs that you hear, such as I'll Have a New Body, Let the Lower Lights Be Burning, Oh What a Savior, and many, many more. To receive this CD, ask for offer number 3678. And to help with postage and shipping, we ask for at least $10. Now, to order by credit card, dial toll-free at 1-800-772-7507. Or write us at the Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, Post Office Box 1177, Corpus Christi, Texas, 78403. And be sure to check the website now. That's www.roloff.org. and you'll find some interesting facts on that particular website. So now the offer today is a message and song, the offer number 3678, and include $10. We want to reach out to you to help us during the summer months as we hesitate in dropping some radio stations, but we're just about forced to do so. We need to hear from you today. Call us at 1-800-772-7507 or write us at the Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, Post Office Box 1177, Corpus Christi, Texas 78403. This is Gene Price speaking for the SAP, wishing you a wonderful day. Looking forward to being with you again here on the Family Altar Program.
The strangers to God, His grace and His love, were gathered by blue Galilee to listen with joy to words from the lips of the stranger who sat by the sea. They came and they were blessed. He gave the weary rest. He made the blinded eyes to see. He fed the hungry soul, and He made the wounded whole by the waters of blue Galilee. They sat at His feet, and they looked in His face, content in His presence to be, for no one before had cared for their souls like the stranger who sat by the sea. They came and they were blessed. He gave the weary rest. He made the blinded eyes to see. He fed the hungry soul, and He made the wounded whole by the waters of blue Galilee.